Welcome to The Extra, the show that connects you with the issues, topics, and people that are important to you. Well, we're just about a week away from the start of May, and May is National Foster Care Awareness Month, a time for us to recognize that we all play a role in enhancing the lives of children in foster care. Not only can we use this time to celebrate current foster families, but also highlight the rewards of giving a child a temporary home that will make a forever difference in their lives. And to honor the month-long observance, we're so pleased to have with us the folks from Kids Crossing. And Kids Crossing, we should mention, is hosting Through Our Eyes, Art from the Front Lines of the Foster Care System. It's an exhibit that's happening at Library 21C. The exhibit opens May 3rd. Joining us this morning with more information on this exhibit, as well as the joys of being a foster parent, we're pleased to have with us Sarah Bailey, Director of Recruitment for Kids Crossing. Sarah, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
And Melissa Sanders, who's Director of In-Home Services and Support Team Kids Crossing. Melissa, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, good morning, Shannon. Thank you for having me.
You bet. And Melissa, why don't you hang on a bit, because we're going to start, I think, with Sarah. And Sarah, let's talk a little bit about Kids Crossing, the organization. It's a child placement agency. It's been around for 30 years here in our community. Tell us more about what makes Kids Crossing special.
So Kids Crossing was founded by foster parents to support other foster parents in the community while they help the children that are in their home. We're a nonprofit, and that's what we do. We license and support families, again, so they can focus on the kids that are in their home and getting them the help that they need.
And we mentioned this at the top of the show, this Kids Crossing sponsored Through Our Eyes, an art from the front lines of the foster care system exhibit. Can you give us some details about this and how it helps acknowledge National Foster Care Month?
Yes, absolutely. We are so excited. It's our first ever art show. And a lot of our kids, as well as staff, foster parents use art as a way to work through the trauma that they're experiencing or have experienced. And we are just excited to be able to host an art show and let them tell their stories.
And sometimes it's the stories that are the most impactful. I think back to a work of fiction, White Oleander, and I know it was fiction, but certainly it opened my eyes to some of the travails and experiences of foster kids. And I think it really, and older foster kids particularly, and I think it really opened the eyes of a lot of people through presenting a work of fiction, but that obviously had some kernels of truth at its core. Who's eligible to participate in this exhibit? Is it just kids who are involved in foster care, or is it other people?
Anyone that's involved in the foster care system. So we have therapists that are participating, foster parents, and foster youth, as well as youth that have been adopted through foster care.
How many pieces are you expecting in the show, and what should we expect in terms of, you know, the kind of mediums these artists will use?
So we are expecting about 60 different pieces of art, and it is, we have a lot of paintings. We have some drawings. We have some pottery also. We even have a couple of rocks that some of our kids have painted at camp that they wanted to be part of the show. So a wide variety of mediums.
Wanted to be represented, I bet. And that representation is important, but why? What were the reasons at the core of deciding to host an art exhibit in honor of Foster Care Awareness Month?
So it's just another way for people to be able to learn a little bit more about foster care. As well as what our youth are experiencing, and the people that are part of the front lines of foster care. There are many people that are touched by foster care on a daily basis, whether it be therapists or caseworkers, foster parents, even the biological children in the foster homes are affected on a daily basis. So again, it's just another way to share their stories and honor that. And May is just a great time to do that because we're trying to make the community aware of foster care and what's going on.
And there are so many varieties of paths that can take place that leads a child to be in foster care. But can you kind of give us an overview of those paths and how it is that the children end up in the system in this way?
So youth and children end up in foster care for a wide variety of reasons. It could be due to substance abuse. It could be due to physical abuse. It could be due to death in the family, as well as some criminal issues that their parents are struggling with. So there truly really are a wide variety of reasons, and every child's story is different. So again, doing the art show allows them to express their stories.
And express it in the way that they want and representing themselves in the way that they want. So for listeners who are wanting to learn more about this, where should they go for more information, Sarah?
They can go to our website, which is kidscrossing.com.
Okay, kidscrossing.com. Well, stick around because we are going to be talking to you a little later on, talk to you about some of the stats that we know are something that I think the community should really be aware of, because this is a problem that's not going away. It's something that the community needs to really step up to, because these foster kids need these placements. When we come back, though, we're going to be joined by Melissa Sanders, who's director of In-Home Services and Support Team at Kids Crossing, and she'll be telling us about self-expression when someone has experienced trauma and why that's important. That and more as The Extra continues. You're listening to KRDO News Radio. We're back with Melissa Sanders, who's a director of one of the support teams at Kids Crossing. And Melissa, first of all, I'm so glad you could join us to talk about this important cause and this important art exhibit. So let's start, though, with talking about the clinic at Kids Crossing. What is it? It offers counseling, as I understand, correct? What kind?
Yeah, good morning, Shannon. We do offer counseling. All of our clinicians are trained in trauma-informed therapies. One of the big pieces that we use is EMDR therapy, which I think, you know, really ties into what we're going to be talking today about, self-expression and different modalities of therapies that we use with our kids.
And so let's go into that a little bit more, because I don't know about that type of counseling. So what exactly is that type of therapy?
So it is eye movement desensitization reprocessing. But I think what the bigger piece of that is, I think often people think therapy is, oh, I'm going to lay down on this couch and talk to you about my feelings. A big piece of what we know about trauma is it's stored in the body. We've all experienced traumas. And one way that we know that we can access processing those and helping anybody or any of our kids heal doesn't have to necessarily be verbally. And so EMDR does use nonverbal ways of processing, but we can also incorporate art through self-expression in helping our kids. And so they're not necessarily having to always talk about things, but we can use art therapies and EMDR therapies to help their brain kind of find these new neural pathways for healing those traumas.
Does that make art an important platform, especially for kids who've experienced trauma, to process this, to express their own experience?
Yes, and it's really amazing, because actually what we know about the brain is when there's been a significant amount of trauma and trauma's perception to each of our own brains, it can actually impact the creativity of pieces of our brain, which is our sequential thought and our empathy areas of our prefrontal cortex. So which is really cool that we can use art therapies and expression through, you know, written or song or painting to actually help increase those creativity pieces in the brain and process that trauma for our kids. So it is a really cool way that they can get their story out there, but then also kind of help move any of that trauma in their brain in a healthy way so that it's no longer impacting them in the way that impairs their daily functioning.
Because if they don't find a way to express it or to maybe process it, oftentimes it can turn inward into self-destructive behaviors or to crippling anxiety. I saw that in a relative who really never was taught ways to deal with the trauma of early childhood and then it, you know, really found themselves hampered in life, going through life dealing with that. So let's talk about therapy and how you integrate art and creativity, because this isn't something that that people just would naturally turn to. Oh, I want to draw a picture or something. I mean, it almost is something, it sounds like, that you have to lead them to in a way or guide them through. Tell us about that.
Well, and Shannon, I think it's actually really interesting because, you know, we talk a lot about in therapy, let's come up with all these coping skills. And we're always talking about, like, do some deep breathing or, you know, find some ways that you can cope. And actually, a lot of people, we have these natural abilities of being creative and trying to help, you know, in our own way. And art is one of those. So I think I agree partially that, you know, I think we do have to guide people a little bit in just being able to have permission to express themselves in these ways. Oftentimes, I think people feel maybe a little bit uncomfortable to share the art that they've created based on how they're feeling or what they've experienced in life. So it's really cool because all of the people that are participating in our art show, I think, really are taking a lot of pride. They're really taking a lot of self-exploration and just like how brave they are for showing like their inner self to the entire community and just kind of normalizing that, hey, we've, you know, we've all experienced these things. I've gone through this and this is my story.
Okay, so when we're talking about this, what are kids able to express on paper or in some other medium that they can't otherwise put into words?
Well, I guess I'd like everyone to kind of think about a moment that they've experienced that's been really hard for them to maybe verbalize but being able to want to get that out and just knowing that, you know, for some people, just being able to get your hands busy and like, you know, in the clay or in the paints and getting that out can be the same as those of us that maybe verbally process a little bit better, right? Those of us that like to just talk things out, not everybody's brain works that way. So I would say, you know, it's going to be the same as those of us that can verbally do things, but it's in a way that works for that person. So literally any of their traumas, their experiences, anything can come out on this, you know, in this art.
The kids who are contributing to this art exhibition, did they create this artwork at a special event or is it coming from homes across the county?
Oh, great question. So so we have, you know, like Sarah was saying, we have kids, we have staff, we have some therapists. It's anyone who's really been impacted in the foster care system. And I will share that, you know, we have a lot of different, we have a lot of the art is coming from different places, but we did just have our first camp for some of our kiddos, and they did get to, you know, do some of this artwork up there. We have some paintings that everyone did, and it wasn't directed at all. I know we just kind of talked about that. It was just kind of like through your eyes, telling your story, whatever you feel is right in this moment to paint. And they're really powerful and amazing. I can't wait to see them up.
Okay. And can you share maybe a story or experience you've had with a child who's turned to art to express themselves whether it's their difficulties or their breakthroughs or what have you that they're using to express their experience?
You know, I was looking at this question and I was thinking a lot about it, and It made me think about being a therapist a long time ago when I first started, and you think everybody needs to be talking. We have to talk in order to get some good work done. And finally, just kind of realizing that everyone's so different. I had this one kid that session after session just would stare at me and not talk. And after a while, I just pulled out some art, some paper and colored pencils, and I just started drawing. And they sat down and started drawing. And after a few sessions, that ended up being one of the most impactful kids that got, I think, some of the most out of our therapy sessions, because they were able to, again, normalize the therapy process, start sharing their story through their artwork, and feel comfortable enough with me to then start verbally processing. So I think it's just a way that really people can feel more comfortable with their story also.
Get through those barriers, those mm-hmm. Internal locks that we have on our emotions. Interesting. Well, again, where you can go to find out more about the art exhibition, go to kidscrossing.com. And Melissa, thank you so much for joining us. Melissa Sanders, Director of In-Home Services and Support Team for Kids Crossing. When we come back, we're going to be talking more about the stats and how great is the need for foster care parents in the Pikes Peak region. That and more when The Extra continues. We're back, and our guests today, Melissa Sanders and Sarah Bailey, Director of Recruitment at Kids Crossing. We heard from Melissa in our last segment. Sarah is going to be talking to us in this segment. And Sarah, according to El Paso County Department of Human Services, just in the first quarter of this year, an average of 558 El Paso County children were in out-of-home placements. And we know statewide that numbers increase significantly. Is there a shortage of foster care families in our state?
Yes, there is a shortage of foster care families in Colorado, especially families that will work with large sibling groups or teenagers. There's a huge need for families that will work with those populations.
Well, and of course, everyone understands that there's a need there, but sometimes they wonder, would I make a good foster parent? I can't imagine. But who is an ideal foster parent?
So honestly, anyone can make an ideal foster parent. As long as they have a safe, stable, loving home, and are open to providing a place for a child to be while their family gets the help that they need. We see anywhere from teachers to first responders to military families. Anyone can make an excellent foster parent.
It runs the gamut is what you're saying.
And
when you're exploring this, maybe there's someone out there who thinks, okay, she's just kind of describe me. Why can't I do it? What kinds of certifications or training do you need to get so that you can join this very important and critically needed component of our social service system?
So you complete an application process, which includes application, background, physical. You have to be CPR first aid certified. And you do complete some initial trainings. Some of that is online, and they're webinar style classes that you attend, and then some of it's in person with us, and you come and it's a 12-hour training where you learn all the basics of foster care, from the trauma that the kids will have experienced to fulfilling the basic needs to what transportation is going to look like on a weekly basis.
So what kind of compensation is offered? Because we know that bringing a child into your household is not cheap.
No, it's definitely not. And the county provides a reimbursement rate for the child in your home. Depending on the age group of the child, it starts around $40 a day and goes up to about $60 a day. Again, it depends on the needs of that child as well as their age. And that is to help pay for what that child needs. So clothing, extracurricular activities, and anything else that is needed to provide for a child.
Is health care separate? Because some of the kids coming into the system might have, maybe more serious health needs than others.
Yes. Every child that comes into your home has Medicaid that covers their medical dental, vision, prescription medication, as well as therapeutic needs.
So that would be maybe some of the counseling that Melissa was talking about when she does therapy, correct?
Yes. Every child in the foster care system is in therapy to help work through the trauma they've experienced.
Mm. And what would you say to an individual considering fostering a child or children? Sometimes those sibling groups, it's important for them to be placed in the same location. So what would you say to someone who's considering this?
To start asking questions. If you've thought about it, if you're considering it, give me a call. I'd love to sit down and talk to you. It's a huge decision, and we definitely realize that. And we want to answer all the questions that you have and start the conversation.
And so in order to start that conversation, where would you suggest our listeners go for information on that?
So they can go to our website, which is kidscrossing.com. They can also call me directly, which is 719-667-7046.
All right, Sarah, stick around. We want to talk to you some more. We have more of the extra ahead. Again, we're talking to the folks from Kids Crossing. Earlier, we were talking about this art exhibit, which is basically channeling the experiences and the self-expression of some of the kids who are foster kids in our system. And it's channeling that into works of art. And listeners can find out more about that art exhibit as well at kidscrossing.com. It's called Through Our Eyes, and it's art from the front lines of the foster care system starting May 3rd as part of an acknowledgement of May being National Foster Care Awareness Month. When we come back, more from the folks from Kids Crossing. Keep on listening to KRDO News Radio. We're back with our guests from Kids Crossing. Melissa Sanders had to ring off, but we still have Sarah Bailey, who's with us on the KRDO Newsline. And to close out this segment and this hour, Sarah, why don't you provide listeners with more information on Through Our Eyes? That's the name of the art exhibition that's taking place. And it's involving both those who are experienced in the foster care system and those from the front lines of the foster care system. Tell us about this.
Absolutely. So it's titled Through Our Eyes from the Front Lines of Foster Care. So anyone from a foster child to a bio child in a foster home, foster parents, therapists, caseworkers, anyone working in the foster care system is submitting art for us to display during Foster Care Awareness Month, which is in May. So it'll start May 3rd and go through the entire month. It'll be at 21C Library. There is no cost associated. You just come into the library and the art will be displayed as well as some descriptions to explain the story behind the piece. The art is used to help the children, the youth, as well as the adults work through the trauma they've experienced while in foster care, working with foster care.
It sounds like it's going to give voice to those who may find themselves unable to voice what they've been through any other means.
Absolutely. Absolutely. A lot of our kids in foster care struggle with the fact that they feel like they have no voice. They don't have any control over what's happening in their lives. And this definitely helps give them a voice.
Okay, so let's talk about this. You mentioned it's free, right? So no charge for this.
Yes, no cost at all.
Okay, and if listeners miss the exhibit that's taking place in May at Library 21C, where else can they maybe catch it?
So in July, we're actually moving the display to the Penrose Library downtown. So it'll be there for the entire month of July, again at no cost. So if that time frame works best, you can come and still get to experience the art from our kids and people that are working in foster care.
Okay. So in closing, what would you like, Sarah, for listeners to come away from this hour of conversation with? What do you want to imprint on the minds of those who've been listening and hearing about the plight of those who are in foster care, the foster care system as a whole, and how it could use our help?
So If you are interested at all in foster care or want to figure out how you can help, reach out. Ask questions. If this conversation piques your interest and you're like, huh, I've never thought of it, but I want to learn more, definitely give me a call. Go to our website, which is kidscrossing.com, to learn more information. There are several ways to get involved, and we'd love to help you figure out the way you're supposed to be involved.
Fantastic. Well, Sarah Bailey, thank you for joining us. And earlier, Melissa Sanders, thank you for joining us. Sarah is the Director of Recruitment for Kids Crossing, and they can always use some individuals who feel it in their heart and find out more and really follow through on that commitment to becoming a foster parent. And Melissa Sanders, Director of In-Home Support Services at Kids Crossing. To both of you, our deepest gratitude for joining us for this hour of The Extra.
Well, thank you so much for having us and letting us share what's going on with Kids Crossing.
And once again, kidscrossing.com is their website, and the art exhibition called Through Our Eyes from the Front Lines of the Foster Care System. That art exhibit is taking place at Library 21C, and it starts on May 3rd. Thank you so much for joining us and letting our listeners know more about this. And to our listeners, thank you for taking part. We hope some of you out there may be inspired to do this solid for the kids of the Pikes Peak region, kids in need, kids who may be in the foster care system or going through transition and need that caring home, that loving home, that adult who's going to be in their corner. So for all of us here at KRDO News Radio, thanks to our listeners. We've got Tom Martin coming up tomorrow. We'll have another extra show. Keep on listening to KRDO News Radio.